Other dimensions, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation. Nobody like the expert, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, and he is next with me on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Of course, those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, you know that he has advanced degrees in dentistry and counseling and psychology, but he conducts an international hypnotherapy practice in California. He does specialize in reincarnation, time travel, soul healing as well. A number of books out there, including, of course, Exploring the Fifth Dimension. And the good thing about having Dr. Bruce Goldberg on Coast to Coast is every time he's on, he's got a special deal for our listeners so they don't have to pay too much for any of his works. His website, drbrucegoldberg.com. Bruce, always a pleasure, my friend.
It's my pleasure, too. I want to thank you and your AKA Dexter Monterey for the kind introduction and the privilege to reincarnate on Coast for the umpteenth time. By the way, I really appreciate your, you reviewed my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, which we'll talk about a little special.
Loved it.
Here. And this is what you said, just for the listeners to show you what a class act you are. You said, Dr. Goldberg guides you into a world beyond your wildest expectations. Highly recommended.
Well, it's true.
Well, as a matter of fact, and for your audience, for the benefit, if they order the book Exploring the Fifth Dimension from my site, from my office, if they call the toll-free number, we'll give out later, then they get the free Fifth Dimensional Travel CD, which will guide them out of the body into the fifth dimension so they can do all the things we're going to be talking about. If they buy the books from any bookstore like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever, they won't get that. So they have to get it. They only get that if they get it through the office. And if they want to see what the exercises are like but don't want to buy the book, if they call my toll-free number, which is 1-800-KARMA-4-YOU, which is 1-800-527-6248, then I'll send them a written exercise and all the information about the various books. But please don't call, folks, unless if you have a computer, everything is on the website. Exercises, videos, everything is on. So
yeah, you lay it right out there for everybody.
Well, I want them, your listeners are really great. And you know what's interesting? You know what I've gotten a lot of calls about, a lot of feedback, and new patients from, too, is the Guy MT interview. That we did.
Beyond Belief, yeah.
Oh, Beyond Belief was just, the reincarnation, the Egyptian past life regression, we talked about it and everything, but that was a couple of years ago. I'm getting like every month I'm getting new people from this.
Well, the program lives forever, Bruce,
yeah,
so
I know,
people
yeah.
can go back into the library when they go to beyondbelief.com and they can watch it anytime they want, so it's always there.
Well, it's always there. It's in the universe, in the matrix, so to speak, and it works quite well. So tonight, let me just describe what we're going to do tonight. This is our syllabus for tonight. Okay, tonight and this morning, depending on where in the world you are, we're going to be discussing out-of-body experiences, how to travel, and I'm going to give lessons and specific techniques and tips, how to travel to the fifth dimension and return safely. There is no danger in doing this, folks. I have been out of the body over 3,000 times in my life. 3,000. And I'm here on the earth plane. I'm not in the astral plane right now, okay? So it's perfectly safe. In fact, we'll discuss how you actually go through out-of-body experiences every night when you dream. And we're going to talk about its healing effects, too, how you can actually use this, not just for the fun thing of tripping and, going out and exploring the world, or you can explore other planets or parallel universes. You can do anything out of the body. But you can also use it to heal. And we're going to show you some cases and discuss how you can actually do this. So this is going to be a fun night of out of the body. And the summertime is always the time when people are mostly interested in these fields, And this is where most of your UFO abductees occur. It's always the summertime.
Indeed. Now, when we've talked about other dimensions, how many are there out there, Bruce?
Well, we're going to discuss them in details. Now, I have, in my paradigm, I have 13 dimensions. And would you like to begin with me going over this now?
Yeah, real fast.
Okay. You have the plane we're on now is called the physical or earth plane. And the next plane, and it's not really above it because they're all, in consciousness, but the astral plane is the one that is the next one, which is the body is the astral or spiritual body is a little bit less material than the physical one. And there's an upper and lower astral plane, and we'll differentiate that later. Then there's a causal plane, which is where the seat of all of our Akashic records are held. It's a very tiny dimension. Then beyond that, there's the mental plane. Then there's the etheric plane, and we'll discuss that in detail because that's where healing can occur using out-of-body techniques. Then there's the soul plane. So those are six dimensions. The lower five represent the karmic cycle. The soul plane is like a DMZ. You either go there to reincarnate or you go there to ascend. And then there are seven planes above that, what we call the higher planes. The God or nameless plane is the ultimate one, and that's where we're all designed, or our ultimate goal is to rejoin the God energy complex and to be in heaven or nirvana, not have to reincarnate, no perpetrators, no victims, and life is really cool.
Why did these other dimensions get created, or how did they get created?
Well, I write about this in my Ascension book, and this is a theory that I come up with, and it's really backed by several of my colleagues. And apparently, if you want to give you the two-cents plain version, as they say in New York, you have the God energy complex, or people would just call God, but it's an energy, perfect energy complex. And it decided to create other dimensions to expand the magnificence of the God energy awareness, all right? So you had, these are all higher planes, all perfect, and everything was cool. And then you had the 12th, the 11th, the 10th, the 9th, the 8th, and the 7th. And then if you want to use the term archangels or other eminences of the God energy complex, they decide to create the soul plane, and then they decide to create the more material planes, namely the etheric all the way down to the physical, just to see the magnificence of the God energy complex. The problem was when these lower five planes were created and mankind inhabit these, because we can occupy, as you'll see, any dimension, we were the ones that messed up, and we developed the karmic cycle by doing some really stupid things. So it's not, you can't blame the perfect entities. They just tried to expand it. It's sort of like having a network radio show rather than a local affiliate. You know, they just expanded the magnificence of the God energy complex. So we actually created the karmic cycle ourselves. So you can't blame God for it, or some archangel, or some higher entity. It was really us. And we have a way of getting out of the karmic cycle, and we'll discuss the ascension, because ascension is nothing but going out of the body to rejoin the God energy complex.
As we look at these other dimensions, I want to talk with you about one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes, Bruce, Little Girl Lost.
Oh, I know. The one where they're crawling under the bed and they're looking for her.
And she's gone.
Yes, she's gone. Right.
She's fallen. Right. Is that real? Can that happen like
yes.
that?
As a matter of fact, it actually is a mechanism, interesting enough, of teleportation. When people teleport, what they're actually doing is entering into the tear of the fabric of space-time. Now, in that Twilight Zone episode, that little girl was going into, let's say, the astral plane, because she wasn't staying on the Earth plane and teleporting. She was just stuck. Now, remember, that's Hollywood. This is not, people should not be afraid of going out of the body because of that little girl's experience. By the way, she was saved at the end of the episode, okay? And her dog, too, right? So she was in a tear of the fabric of space-time and went into the astral plane. Now, in teleportation, there are tears in the fabric of space-time all around this planet. And when people enter them, when they don't know what they're doing, they just, because they're invisible, you can't see these things, then they actually can go zip from one place to another, and that's what teleportation is. It's not like Star Trek seeing sparkles and dematerializing. You actually zip into a tear in the fabric of space-time. You immediately disappear, and you immediately reappear. And I've done that myself, and I train people to do that. And if your listeners are interested, some of the books, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, of course, covers that. And my Time Travelers Training Program, CD album, is the one that guides people from simple to more complex techniques, guiding ultimately to the teleportation exercise. It is not easy to do. It's the hardest thing to do, folks out there. But when you do it, it's sort of like there's nothing else to replace it. It's the most unbelievable experience. And let me just describe, since we're on teleportation, just for a second.
Sure.
Teleportation has, people have described the actual feeling. So I'm going to give you just a couple of sentences of what it's like to teleport. And I've done this myself, so I can corroborate this as well as many of my patients. Quote, it felt like almost as if I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. They stretched away in all directions, and they intersected everything, including me. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as well as visual, and you could see/feel the image. That's what teleportation is like. Perfectly safe, but an experience that is like no other.
Are these other dimensions safe, though, Bruce?
Yeah, they're all safe. Now, let me show you some of the real cool stuff. In the astral plane, you have what's called the Astral Museum, where you can see futuristic technology. So Bill Gates and Da Vinci and all these, and Einstein and Tesla, that's where they hung around. This is the upper astral plane, of course. The lower astral plane, of course, you don't want to go to. That's the origin of psychic attack and all the negative stuff and these creepy entities that you see on bad Hollywood films. Are on the lower astral. The sound of the astral plane, to show you where you are, they all have a different sound, is a roar of the sea, like picking up a seashell. Whereas the earth plane has thunder. So you never want to do out-of-body experiences during a thunderstorm because you're kind of like swimming upstream and it makes it very difficult to leave the body. The causal plane, which is the seat of the Akashic Records, is symbolized by the tinkling of bells, like you're in a New Age bookstore. The mental plane beyond that is the plane where the various religious figures hang out, the Moses, the Jesus, the Buddhas, etc. The sound of running water is there, and you can hear the Om sound very clearly throughout that. Also, the highways, if you're traveling on them, and they do have highways there, they're blue, iridescent blue color. So if you're traveling on an iridescent blue road, you know you're on the mental plane. And all the beings, the people who live there, or the entities, all look like little angels in white smocks. It's really kind of cool. The etheric plane, which we'll discuss a little bit later as far as etheric plane surgery for healing, is characterized by the sound of buzzing of bees, but it's not annoying, and it's the largest of all the dimensions, and you see stars 24/7. All times during the day or evening, you'll always see stars. The soul plane is characterized by the single note of a flute as it sounds. And when you get into the higher planes, it's almost like indescribable orchestra-type music, which is heard continually representing the sound of the universe in the higher planes. So these are the different dimensions, which, of course, I document these in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book and some more information about that exactly. So this is a way when people leave the body, they can actually find out, you know, I don't know where I was. Well, now you know. This is the syllabus or the way you can actually, the key to let you know where you are. So it's important that people know where they are because you can do certain things on certain dimensions, like the etheric plane, because if you want to heal your body, you want to do that. And the reason why you go to the etheric plane is every time you go to a dimension, you're occupying the spiritual body of that dimension. So, for example, if you go to the astral plane, you're in your astral body. If you go to the etheric plane, you're in your etheric body. Now, why is that significant? Because the etheric body is the only spiritual body that's absolutely identical to the physical body. So if you heal the etheric body, you can carry the healing when you return back to the earth plane. The astral body, for example, that most people are associated with, those of you listeners that do out-of-body experience, it's always taller, thinner, and younger looking than your physical body. So people like that, especially women, okay? But the etheric body is absolutely mirror identical. In fact, if anything ever happened to your etheric body, your physical body would die. Don't worry, folks, it's not going to happen. But it's the one that's right. Critical for life. You can live without your astral body. You can live without your mental plane body. That's fine. But the etheric body is the one that really is like the life force in a way. And it's always protected, but it's the one where you can do the healing.
Now, the astral body's connected by an umbilical cord, isn't it?
Yeah, they call it the silver cord. It's like a pulsating light, which is actually representing energy from the higher self or the superconscious mind, which is the perfect part of your soul. But it's a pulsating energy, and it's represented by like a silverish cord is what they call it. Now, the significance of that is that most people don't see the silver cord because it's behind them. It's like the back of the head. So you have to kind of turn around real fast to see it. And most people don't do that.
If it's severed, do you die?
Yeah. Now, this is the key. When you as long as you see that silver cord not severed, like you would in a near-death experience, which is a kind, we're going to discuss the different kind of out-of-body experiences. Near death, you actually clinically die for 3 or 4 minutes, but then you return back to life on the earth plane. But if that silver cord is ever severed, that means you ain't coming back. It's do not.
That's
go.
It.
You're going to go to the soul plane where you're most likely going to choose your next incarnation.
It's your road to come back, and without it, it's not going to happen, is it?
Well, no, but like I said, I've been out of the body 3,000 times, at least. I mean, it's more than that. I said that number like
3,000. I was out once.
Well, no, yeah, but you're actually, now let me just show you how, let me respectfully disagree with you, George. You're my favorite, you're my buddy. Okay, you know, I love you dearly, but I always have to educate the public. When you go to sleep at night, this is neurology 101. This is medical. This is hard-nosed medical science. You know, I have a medical training here. You go out, you're in the REM cycle, the rapid eye movement cycle, which is the dream cycle, for 3 hours a night, broken up into four or five sleep cycles, depending on how much you sleep. Now, when you're in the REM cycle, from the medical perspective, they're saying, well, you're dreaming, the eyes are moving back and forth, and there's like paralysis of the body, you're kind of whatever. Okay. But what you're really doing metaphysically, and there's evidence to show that on a scientific level, is that you're actually leaving the body. So for 3 hours every single night, everyone, including you, George, and everyone you know, and Tom, and everybody else with coast to coast, everybody leaves the body. And then you come back. Now, the problem with that is that it's not a problem leaving the body. It's a given. You don't remember it because you don't remember your dreams. You don't remember 3 hours of dreams every night. I'm an expert, and I can't do that. But the problem is most people, because they are stressed, because they watch like news items that are negative, or they have an argument with their spouse or their kids, or they're worried about taxes or whatever it is, they have negative thoughts, and they go to the lower astral plane. And that's where they get burnt out. That's where they're being attacked by these lower astral entities, like you would call the shadow people, mm-hmm. that you guys use. Yeah? There are other terms, psychic parasites. There are all kinds of negative terms. And if you do that, you're going to get burnt out. It's like being in a bad neighborhood. You can't win that game. You want to go to the upper astral plane, where now you can connect with the higher self, which you can do healing, and you can do all kinds of, you can get abundance, you can meet soulmates, you can do all the things you want to do. And you can't be attacked once you get out of the lower astral. If you're in the upper astral or any of these dimensions, which are all positive, by the way, except for the lower astral and this one. We have problems here, too. Not as bad as the lower astral, but there are some unhappy campers on this dimension. But all these other dimensions are positive, and you can access your higher self. And that's the purpose of my work therapeutically, is to train people to connect with their higher self, the superconscious mind, as I call that, so they can raise the frequency, vibrational rate, the soul's energy, to a higher level. Think of it as an energy immune system. And when you do that, you can become immune to issues you were previously vulnerable to.
When this all happens, though, and you've said that you can train yourself to do things like this, is it hard?
Oh, no, it isn't. I mean, for the novice, like I get, I get thousands and thousands of calls from your listeners, and they order my CD. That's why I give the fifth dimensional travel CD if they order the book from my site, because I want them to experience it. Not only is there spiritual protection on there and balancing the chakras to help them to, have a better experience, but then they can actually, reading a book is great, and there's a lot of information exercises in there and case histories and things like that, but I want them to actually go out of the body. You have no idea how it's a natural technique. Remember, we do it at night, every night. The reason why I want them to have conscious memories, though, I want people to, number one, overcome the fear of death. Number two is I want them to grow spiritually. You can connect with departed loved ones, even if you lose your pets. Pets have souls, too, and I'm going to give a very significant case history about how you can overcome bereavement by using these techniques. So I want people to have it. This is a spiritual growth issue. This is like, they say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. An alpha level is a terrible thing to waste. Using natural hypnosis to go out of the body and to explore things is a terrible thing to waste. Let me give you another example. When you're driving in the car and going through a daydream where you don't remember all the exits on the freeway.
Right, and that happens.
The daydream is a natural alpha level. Now, let me tell you something else, which is going to sound a little strange, but bear with me. There's actually scientific evidence for this, as well as the Eastern literature, those people that read East Indian literature. When a couple is engaged in sex and they're having an orgasm, that is an out-of-body experience. I call that an IBE. This is the term that I created about 25 years ago. It stands for in-the-body experiences. It has all the characteristics of an OBE, or out-of-body experience, except your perspective is from the physical body. The difference is you're using your astral senses, your astral eyes and ears, not the physical ones, which means you can see into the fifth dimension. Parallel universes, other dimensions, all time is simultaneous. You can go into the future and do all these kind of fun things. So I call that an IBE. But that is a very classic experience. And any of your listeners that like to read the Vedas or the Puranas or any of the East Indian literature, and the Chinese literature, the Lao Tse and Confucius talks about this too, the Kama Sutra is an example, those are all showing out-of-body experiences, and they're using that not just for titillation or procreation, but for spiritual growth. So the point of all this is, I'm not only just Dr. Positive to your show, but I'm also Dr. Spiritual Growth here.
Yes, you are. Hey, Bruce, we're going to take a break. Let's come back and talk about teleportation. How does that work? How does that happen? Our guest, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And, of course, we'll take phone calls with Bruce next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg, whose website is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Bruce, teleportation, is it really happening?
Yes, as a matter of fact, as I mentioned when I gave the little description of what it's like to teleport, and teleportation has been reported for like thousands of years. I give some of the classic cases in my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. But this is one that I want to discuss. So in other words, because there are what we call tears in the fabric of space-time, objects and humans can teleport from one to another. So let me give you an example of a case history. And just for the benefit of those listeners, I know a lot of your listeners like to teleport. I get the calls, I know. It's perfectly safe. You're not going to teleport underwater and drown or be in the middle of a mountain or do anything where it's going to harm you. I've teleported myself, so have many of my patients. So here's a case example that occurred in Texas. Two 9-year-old classmates were walking home from school in Texas one day when suddenly an older teenager around 18 ran up to them and pushed them both aside. This teenager was wearing a light blue tennis outfit, which you'll see is important in a moment, and just as she pushed both of the girls, which I call them Brenda and Amy, not their real name, aside, a car driven by a drunken teenager jumped the curb and would have killed both of them.
Oh, my God.
If it wasn't for this teenager. Now, here's where it gets strange. As Brenda and Amy turned to thank the girl because she saved their lives, the older girl just disappeared, just gone, in an instant, right? Now, 10 years later, I work with Amy, one of the girls, who related the story. What brought this to her attention was that she remained friends with Brenda, through the next 10 years or so, and one fine day recently, they decided to play tennis. Amy picked up Brenda at her parents' home, and saw Brenda in the exact same blue tennis outfit worn by the teenager who saved both their lives 10 years earlier. Brenda told Amy that she blacked out for a short time earlier that day and had a dream that she saved the lives of two younger girls.
Wow.
Now, Amy realized, she's a bright young girl, she realized that it was the 19-year-old Brenda that saved them. Brenda had entered into a tear in the fabric of space-time and traveled back in time by teleportation, which you can do, 10 years to save both herself and Amy from the drunken teenager in the car. So you might say that Brenda had become a time traveler deep in the heart of Texas by way of teleportation.
She saved herself.
Right. Well,
and her friend.
And you can do this. See, teleportation is interesting because when I reported some of the famous cases that I've done over the years with the show, you can teleport in the same time range. Yes, you can do that. But you can also teleport into the past or into the future. Because remember, when you enter into the tear in the fabric of space-time, just like an out-of-body experience, even though it's a more physical movement, teleportation versus the spiritual movement of the out-of-body experience, you're actually in the space-time continuum where there is no past, present, and future, and therefore you can do kind of fun things. Now, I want to show the difference between that and I want to show the healing aspect. This is a very, very...
let me ask you this one quick question. Yeah. The teleportation of Amy... Was it done by her to come back, or do the forces make it happen?
No, she just literally blacked out, like she was lying down on the couch in her living room waiting for Amy to pick her up, and she just, she blacked out, had a nap, just didn't know what was going on. When that happened, she actually entered into a tear in the fabric of space-time, went back in time, and then saved herself. This is like Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox with his hand disappearing, you know what I mean? So all time is simultaneous, so you can do that. So teleportation does involve time travel. Not always, but it does. When I've done it, it hasn't, but other people have done it, and this is an example. But I want to show the healing aspect of a different technique, and this is an out-of-body experience versus teleportation. The difference is that teleportation, you physically move your physical body from one place to another. An out-of-body experience, it's your spiritual body. So let me give you this is a very heavy case. This is a really beautiful case, and I love this one, and I haven't discussed this with you before. This is a woman, I'll call her Fran. Fran had lost her pet dog, Bonzo, and you know what kind of a dog activist I am with my karma,
Yes, my karma. Yes, absolutely. You love pets.
Okay, yes. So she lost her pet Bonzo about a year early. She was referred by one of her dear friends who was a patient of mine. Bonzo was a beautiful St. Bernard. So this is like the movie Beethoven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she, because of Bonzo died, it was about 12, 13 years old, of several untreatable medical conditions and had to be put down. This resulted in severe bereavement for Fran. She was very very depressed, and that's why her girlfriend sent her to me, hoping that she could, you know, work this out. So I did a superconscious mind tap with her, and I figured the best way to deal with this is to take her out of the body into the upper astral plane and meet Banzo. Okay?
I'm with you.
I did that. I took her into a superconscious mind tap and then used some techniques to take her out of the body into the upper astral plane where she actually met Banzo. She's describing it. She has tears of bliss. You know, she's just ecstatic. She goes, oh, my God, this is Banzo. And she's going through his whole routine. So now the case was really very simple and treated very quickly. And she thanked me, and she, you know, the debriefing disappeared, which is depression, by the way. So now we fast forward a little bit. A couple of weeks later, Fran had a dream in which Banzo reincarnated as a German Shepherd puppy and came back to Fran as a pet. Now, Fran doesn't have a pet now, and she goes, wait a minute, I don't like German Shepherds. I like St. Bernards. If I'm going to get another dog, it's going to be a St. Bernard, not a German Shepherd. So she couldn't see this as being accurate, but she didn't want to challenge it. She figured, let me see what's going on. Now, as we fast forward a few months, it's now Christmas time, and she goes to a local mall to buy some Christmas gifts for her family and friends. And when she left her car, she forgot to lock her car, okay? So when she returned to her car, there was a German Shepherd puppy in the front seat. She had no idea how the dog got there, right? There was no note. There was nothing. She didn't know what to do, so she took the dog home. Dog had no collar, any identification, and she figured, well, I don't want to do with this dog, but she fell in love with it immediately. And what she did was something very significant here. Fran swears to this day that her dog is the reincarnation of Banzo. And why? Because the dog passed the Dalai Lama test. It went into the backyard and immediately dug up her Banzo's favorite toy. So she renamed this dog, Squire, and Squire had the exact same personality traits of Banzo. Now, in my case, I have Karma the Third. This is my sixth Schnauzer. She's a pure black, a miniature Schnauzer.
Yeah.
And she is the reincarnation of Karma the Second. Why? Same thing. I have 20 toys that I had for Karma the Second. Karma the Third, my current one, picked as her favorite toy a little green dinosaur. I call it Dino the Dinosaur, which was the favorite toy of Karma the Second, and the same personality characteristics. So dogs, for the benefit of your listeners, I know a lot of your listeners have had dogs and lost them, and they feel very bad, you know, very bereaving because of the pet. They have souls too. You can actually reincarnate with your dog, at least see the dog, sense them, and send out the energy to have them reincarnate into a future pet. So to me, this was a healing example of using an out-of-body experience to heal a bereavement, and I think it's just beautiful, and it shows you what you can do. Now, another way of healing is called the etheric plane surgical technique, which I developed many years ago. And in going out of the body, instead of sending people to the astral plane, the upper astral plane where I do or whatever, there are different dimensions I would use depending on their goals. So let's say you have a really serious disease. Maybe you have lupus or you have...
Or cancer.
Or cancer or AIDS or any of any chronic degenerative disease, okay? Or any disease that you just are really overwhelmed by, okay? Well, what happens? You got nothing to lose. I never take people off their medication. They see their physicians. I don't ever interfere with their treatment. But what I do is a form of, I send them to the upper, to the etheric plane, not the upper astral, with the sound of buzzing of bees, et cetera, you know. And when you go there, there are these etheric plane surgeons. They look like giant tadpoles. They're very strange. And they take you to an OR, the operating room, which is very fifth dimensional and weird. And they have all these sounds and colors and all kinds of strange things going on, and they heal the etheric body. And then when you wake up the following morning, your physical body, your earth plane body, because the etheric body is identical, you can transfer the healing and therefore overcome and even resolve what we think are incurable diseases. Now, it's a very low percentage to do this. So when your listeners call me, because I've had many listeners call me over the years, and yes, it works, but the percentage is not the same as, you know, helping somebody overcome stage fright. You know, this is a very complicated situation. But if the universe and you are on the same wavelength, and the universe permits it, then etheric plane surgery can actually save the day. And it's a case that happened to me one time where I did this. I was packing to go on a workshop, and I had tripped in my house, and I landed on my left knee, which was very sore, and I was like you know, kind of gimping around, you know. And I was supposed to play tennis that weekend, and I called my physician friend. He's a guy I was playing tennis with. And he's an orthopedic guy, and I said, look, I don't know if I can play. I really hurt my leg. He says, come on in. Let me treat you early in the morning. Don't worry about it. So he looks at me, he says, no breaks, no tears. He says, but you're going to have to stay off your leg for about, 10 days or so. And I said, no, I got to play tennis. He goes, we can't play this weekend. And I said, let me try a technique. He goes, okay, you're going to do something weird, right? And I said, yeah. So I did my etheric plane surgery called the technique, right? Instead of being very like a sprained ankle, except this was a kneecap. I did it before going to bed. The following day, I forgot about the issue. I went out and started doing my thing, running around, taking care of my activities. And the following day, I had my tennis match, and I won my match. More importantly, I cured myself by using the etheric plane surgical technique. So anyone can do this, and it's something that the universe gives us as part of its, armamentarium here. So you can do this. Now, by the way, I've had some emails from some of your listeners. If they want to get audiobooks, Amazon has about 18 of my books on audio, so they can do that. And those listeners that don't want to come to Los Angeles, if they want to see me and do therapy, we can do it by Skype, by computer, or FaceTime, or any of the video things. So I do that routinely. In fact, almost all my patients are done by Skype these days. And the term that we use when you're in the fifth dimension, as I've mentioned the last few interviews, is called ultra-terrestrial. So if you're in the fifth dimension, you're not an extraterrestrial, you are an ultra-terrestrial. And that's what we call a fifth-dimensional traveler. So these are the things that people can do to assist them. And remember, these are natural techniques. These are spiritually uplifting. This has been reported in every of the ancient religions, going back to the mystery schools. They all reported various techniques. India, China, you name it. Persia, the old Persian Empire. They all use these techniques for spiritual growth. So this is something that's not new. The only thing is that we updated with more Western techniques, which are less complicated and a lot more user-friendly, is the way I describe this.
Bruce, when you go into this realm for healing, the people who have black clouds over their head, who just don't believe, are they going to be able to do this too?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I do is a form of psychic, a spiritual protection. So people think of the white light protection, but I do more exotic techniques with chakra balancing and others. So that when you say the gray or the black cloud, what you're describing is this. The human aura is characterized by the seven rainbow colors, okay?
Yes.
Orange, gray, blue, indigo, and violet, okay? And each of them represent a chakra, okay? Like red is the first chakra and violet is the crown chakra, the top chakra, for example. So when a person is depressed, they really have their life has kicked them in the butt a few times, for various reasons. Then they're going to have a grayish overtone to their aura. So maybe the green or the blue color would be grayish, and therefore lower astral entities are going to be on you like a cheap suit, and they're going to be psychically attacked. And when they're attacked, they're in trouble, because it won't kill them, but it will make them feel depressed or anxious or all kinds of issues, what we call psychological issues, but they're really energy issues. So when you do protection techniques, you're sealing the auric field, which makes it impervious for any negative energy to get through. If you have an attached entity, and people do that too, I've written my book, Protect the by the Light, where I talk about attached entities and psychic attacks of various kinds and how to resolve them. Any attached entity, once the auric field is sealed, is kicked out. It's not trapped in like a splinter. It's actually ejected, okay? And then the auric field is sealed, so now the patient is now freed from the psychic attack. No more psychic attacks because you've got a sealed auric field. They can't get through. And now they can do any of the techniques I'm dealing with and go out of the body, teleport, whatever they want to do without any fear of going to the lower astral plane or being harmed in any way.
I was always afraid when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I astral projected once at 11 years old that I wasn't going to be able to get back.
No, this is the key. This is the thing that, this is why I say my 3,000 out-of-body experiences, folks, should, if your listeners out there, should tell you that you can come back. Remember, out-of-body experiences, always remember one thing. This is what I use when I deal with nature and holistic healing. If nature gives it to us, you have no problems. Going out of the body is something we do every night. In fact, if you didn't go out of the body and didn't go through hypnosis for 7 hours a day, 4 hours during the waking day, and 3 hours in the REM cycle, you would actually die of a heart attack or a stroke or some cerebrovascular accident by stress. If people think their lives are stressful, you take away the alpha brainwave level of natural hypnosis and daydreams, and you're toast. So not only is it not dangerous, you can't live without it, literally. And out-of-body experiences are something in your logging in 3 hours every night. Do the math on that. That's thousands of hours every year. times that by the number of years you've been around, tens and tens of thousands of hours of flight time, so to speak, you're all logging in. So you might as well use it on a more productive level. That's just to keep you alive. That's just to keep you from being distressed so that you can survive for the next day and this and that. Why not, without compromising the vital life preservation, which you can't do if you wanted to, you're always going to have preservation here, but why not, in addition to that, as a fringe benefit, why not use that state of mind for healing or for attaining goals or for creativity or abundance or meeting a soulmate or whatever you want to do with it.
Whatever you want to
do. In therapy, you need to access the higher self and to do more additional spiritual techniques rather than just not dying, you know. So this is a technique, and that's what I do with my super conscious mind tap. So those are the kinds of things that people can do. And again, it's not difficult. Those people that say, well, they can't see me or they whatever, then they order the CDs. The CDs, all you do is push a button and put some headphones on, push the play button, and you can be guided into self-hypnosis. And every one of my CDs has spiritual protection techniques on there. So they're always going to be protected. And one thing they also should know about, too, they also talk about the paralysis. People get scared of the paralysis. You can eliminate or at least reduce it significantly by using the spiritual protection techniques on the CDs. But the paralysis people feel, which kind of freaks them out when they don't know what they're doing, this is normally part of a sleep cycle. This is part of the normal sleep cycle to give us rest. Mother Nature or the God Energy Complex, whatever you want to say, allows us to be paralyzed for a few moments so that we actually get rest rather than just being hyper all night and not being able to recharge your battery, so to speak. You see, so paralysis is a normal part of the sleep cycle. But when it comes to out-of-body experiences, you can decrease that significantly by using the protection techniques and still get the experience of the conscious memory of the out-of-body. Now, remember, there's three kinds of out-of-body experiences. The one that I'm talking about is the typical OBE.
Right.
Okay? It used to be called the OOBE. Remember the old literature?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there is the near-death experience, which you don't want to have.
We call the NDE, right?
The NDE, right. And that's when, people die clinically, or they have a heart attack or whatever it is. They're in an OR, and they die for 3 or 4 minutes, and they're revived. And they help. Remember, when people have a near-death experience, they always have the spiritual, evolution. They become a different person.
Right.
Right? I'm sure you know the cases. Now, the third kind is my baby. It's my favorite. It's called the COBE. This is the conscious out-of-body experience. What we're doing here is connecting you directly to the higher self. This is an ascension technique. At the moment of death, most people, just about everyone, dies in fear, okay? Because of society's brainwashing, religion, you name it. Everybody says, don't die, you're going to go to hell, you're going to do this or whatever.
Or it's over.
So what happens is when people clinically cross into spirit or clinical death, whatever term you want to use, then they separate immediately. The higher self is watching over you. It's right next to you. All you have to do is grab onto it, you know? Just hug it, okay? But they don't. They separate because of fear, and they go to the lower astral plane. So the COBE is a technique I developed to train people to immediately immerse with or connect with or just join the higher self and become one. And that's called the conscious out-of-body experience. Now, if you do that and you do it right, you'll go to the soul plane directly without going through the lower astral, and either you can reincarnate in a very spiritual future life, or if you've actually done the deed, meaning that you've eliminated all the deaths, you can ascend and rejoin the God Energy Complex. So this is called the COBE, or conscious out-of-body experience. And this is really what you want to do, and that's what I train my patients to do when I do ascension training. And so those are the three different kinds of out-of-body experiences.
And it's very normal and natural, other than, of course, NDEs,
right.
which we prefer
COBE
we don't get
not,
into.
The COBE is not common because you have to learn techniques how to connect with the higher self. And one of the ways to do that is, of course, overcoming fear. And, that's the key. When people die in fear, especially if it's a disease where they're in pain or they're in a car accident or a plane crash, whatever it is, it's anything traumatic that's rather than just dying in their sleep. But even if they die in their sleep, which most people actually do, what happens is they're usually old and sickly. They've been incapacitated for a long time. They have problems. They're not dying in their sleep at age 9, you know, so easily 70, 80, 90 years old. And they're worried about life, and they're dying in fear.
All right, Bruce, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Let's talk about some more time travel stories. I love that one about the car accident. The girls escape death. And then we'll take phone calls next on Coast to Coast.